Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Crotty should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Crotty may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Crotty, 10 to 2 on 670.
We are ready for baseball game 3, the National League Wild Card Series. All hands on deck, do or die. Lots of cliches.
Let's go!
Let's go!
Let's go, man.
Chicago! Let's go!
Jamison Tyo and the veteran. 0-2 pitch, slow curveball, swung on and missed, strike 3. Off-speed pitch, strike 3 call. Swing and a miss, strike 3. A swing and a line drive, center field, shallow. That's going to be a base hit. Everyone moves up 90 feet. Cubs lead 1-0. Heat Pro Armstrong, a bloop single. It's high for ball 4. Cubs get a gift run. It's 2-0.
I hear you.
I'm an emotional wreck.
Cubs will make a pitching change. Caleb Thielbar will now enter the ballgame.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Strike 3 call. Good hook. Pitch by Thielbar. Swing and a miss. Strike 3.
Ground ball to short. Swanson's got it. Steps on the bag. Throws to first. Double play. Double play ends the inning.
And the 1-2. A little line drive.
Caught by Horner. Great catch by Nico Horner.
Now Bush drives one in the air. Deep right field. This ball's got a chance. Gone.
Michael Bush, one of the hottest hitters on the planet, comes up big in game 3.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
2-1-1. High fly ball, deep right field, and that's going to be a home run. And the Padres are not done yet.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Kittredge, the bearded right-hander, going to work. Meow. Here's the pitch by Kittredge. A swing and a high fly ball to center. Heath Pro Armstrong is there. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's got it. The Cubs have won the ball game. They have won the National League Wild Card Series. Not surprisingly, it went right down to the final at bat.
That is how we do it, man. That's how you win baseball games in October. Hey, the magic carpet ride continues, and as Eddie Vedder said, we are alive!
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Crotty. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Now that is an open. My goodness. This is Rahimi Harris and Crotty on 670 The Score. And yes, the Cubs are still alive in the playoffs. Robbie, that was fantastic. Robbie Triano, Ray Diaz, Brandon Fryer helping out producing. You can call us. You can text us. 312-644-6767. You can join us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And when we have breaking news on the Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. I feel like that was also very Mark Crotty coded because I know you love a good Pearl Jam. And for me, Eminence Front during the playoffs is sublime.
Mm-kay.
It's just something about the driving piano.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's that hit, I think that sprayed to all fields there.
It did. And by the way, shout out to whichever organ player does play I'm Still Alive when a Cubs hitter is at 1-2 and he fouls the ball off. So it's everywhere. I hear it all the time, and that was a sick open. I just want to say some goodbyes really quickly.
Oh, goodbye. You want to start our show saying goodbye?
I just want to say some goodbyes. I know we usually save the credits until the end, but I just want to say goodbye, Mason Miller. Goodbye, Fernando Tatis. Goodbye, Bob Suarez. Bye, Manny Machado. Bye. See you later, Jackson Merrill. Nice try, Cronenworth. You're out of here. Bye. See ya.
Actually,
gone.
What about Louise?
Do we say goodbye to Jake
Cronenworth Louise.
When he's married to Brooke Fletcher?
Is that how that works? All due respect to Brooke Fletcher, but he hit a slow grounder. You couldn't beat Matt Shaw's arm at the end there, Cronenworth.
Wow, just throwing it out there. I like
just
how
saying goodbye.
Luis Sorais was not in the goodbye.
The extended family.
He is. I'm sure Jake Cronenworth is a wonderful man. From everything I've heard, Brooke Fletcher is a wonderful person. I know she's great at her job.
Very nice, yeah.
So that is for sure. But goodbye. See you later. I'm not afraid of you anymore.
I like the sentiment.
Thank you.
I really do because. If you think about how much we pined over this series for the last 3 days,
we did,
let's be honest. Game one, game two, especially after game two, because you were like, uh-oh, are they really going to lose this series? For them to come back, it's like, okay, we can all just kind of exhale.
No, I don't think it's that simple at all. It's just like when you guys, we all talked yesterday about the Sandlot draft, the stars that the Padres had were more established superstars, and look at the money. You can follow the money and see how that was the case. And more established in prospect capital given up to get there, the acquisitions they had made, then unfortunately, who's available on the Cubs and who's healthy? You know, that's the other part of this. Who's healthy? And so when you consider that part of it, it was not simple. You know, that was the point. It was like, this isn't the one-off where you just get the one-game wild card anymore. Cubs would have survived that. Cubs would have won that if they had had the one game at home. Unlike 2018, for example. This is a three-game series where you did have a very formidable opponent. And because of team strategy, I feel like, and the offense waking up in a way that they hadn't in the previous game. Curtis Granderson was great talking to us about the shadows and how much he thought that was affecting the hitters. But it's still their job to hit. And they produced enough offense to match what the defense was doing and what their pitching was able to get done. And that's how they were able to win the game. This is a different team when they just hit some. When they hit an acceptable amount in the major leagues. And when they hit to their lineup, then we see what happens like in April and May. So they were able to do that. They matched their defense, set the tone, everything else followed. And I'm thrilled to be wrong. But now what do I do? As a superstitious person, do I have to pick the Brewers to win the next series for the Cubs to win the series?
Do you think the Brewers are better than the Cubs?
I mean, that's the hard part, right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to make your pick right now.
No, we're doing that. Are we doing
right
that
now?
Later? I don't know. We have a lot going on the show, too.
Yeah, we're doing
Vinny
that
Rotino
later.
Vinny Rotino is going to set the... he's going to give us the info from Milwaukee, by the way. Vinny is the TV analyst for them. He'll join us at 10:45. Ian Happ is going to be here at 11, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, so to your point, Layla, about they hit some, right?
They hit enough.
Because...
they had, like, men on in every inning for, like, the first six innings. This was like, wow!
They had 13 hits.
Thank you. Thank you for hitting.
The leadoff man gets on time and time and time again, but they had so little to show for it. When you have the bases loaded and nobody out and you already have a run in, I was like, they need four runs in this inning. they need to get four runs in the bottom of the second inning, especially after you get Yu Darvish out of the game. That was goal number one. Get Yu Darvish out of the game. Lengthen the innings that the bullpen has to throw, right? But if I told you the Cubs were going to play a three-game series against anyone, San Diego Padres or anybody else, and that they would go in that series 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position, could I convince you they were going to win the series?
No. No. Hard no. Hard no.
Like, that's crazy that they were able to somehow, some way, scratch out enough offense. Not that they didn't have opportunities, because if you just look at last night, for instance, they were 1-for-7. In the first two games, they were 0-for-3 and 0-for-3 each game.
Three. They had three total opportunities. That's not enough.
I don't know if it's worse that they had so few opportunities or that when they got to a game where they actually did bang out 13 hits, including three doubles and a home run, that all they could manage was one hit with runners in scoring position and three total runs.
And how about the fact that it comes off the bat of PCA, the RBI hit in the second, makes it 1-0. Also, he is what ultimately chases Yu Darvish out of the game. In comes Jeremiah Estrada. Thank you. Appreciate you for walking. Was it Swanson at the plate? Walked somebody.
It was Swanson with the bases loaded.
Just part of the Dansby Swanson unbelievable day.
Dansby.
Yes, that was awesome. And then the Michael Bush homer in the seventh off our guy Bob Suarez. Like a home run.
Bob Suarez.
A home run in the playoffs when the Cubs hitting has been unpredictable feels like a home run in Game 7 of the World Series. Like, that home run had to have been the greatest sigh of relief Cubs fans have had in the year 2025.
Yeah, and then they lost this sigh in the ninth inning.
Oof.
Jackson Merrill leads off with that home run. And you got put on notice, and then I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, guys.
Bearer.
But it's about time. I guess it's about time the Cubs were on the other side of one of these, because if that call on Xander Bogaerts worked a walk there, and that would have loaded the bases ultimately when you consider the flow of the game. So
let me tell you about DJ Raber.
That would have been a little different. you get out of there before they change the score on you is what happened. Also, like, I don't know how worried I should be about Brad Keller. Like, that's one where, do you give him the day off on Saturday and let him rest? Are you allowed to do so in a five-game series? Like, that's another discussion altogether.
He lost something in that game, and I don't know if he just ran. I'm hoping that for the moment, he just sort of ran out of steam, because when you hit guys in the same way, the bounce hit, two batters in a row, like, the word yips came to my mind, like, something was lost there, and the hope is it was just for that game and that he will be good to go because he is imperative to this team. But that said, Andrew Kittredge might be the MVP of the game for what he did coming in the ninth with two on and one out, unfamiliar territory, and he is able to eventually get the Cubs out of him, be the last man standing. Yeah, kitty. That's right. Go, kitty.
He's
good, kitty.
Swiss Army knife, wasn't he? Like, he's like truly the guy you can use in any scenario.
Yeah.
Well, he opens game two. He finishes off game three, and he did give up a run. That's the only reason I will exclude him from the MVP talk, even though he pitched in three straight games. He did give up a run in that game too. Your guy,
you're talking about his opener, you're right.
Yes. You guys talked about, you know, the terror that is Luis Arraez. He gave up a knock to him. I think
Dansby Swanson owned Luis Arraez yesterday.
That's true.
Pitchers hit their spots. Like, everybody got the scouting report and they hit their spots, and then it forced the same ground ball every single time.
I think the important thing here, overall, the Cubs are still playing. They are advancing. Do we have questions about them? Absolutely. Obviously, were some questions answered just by the mere fact that they were able to get a 3-1 win against the Padres in a winner take all game? I think also, absolutely. But I'm ready to try to answer these questions. And the fact that we get to do that now in a non-postmortem way, that should excite us all.
Well, I mean, that's it. Is we had to adjust our expectations with this team. And it started in the month of June, and it just continued. And I won't forget Lawrence being here and saying, I guess it was during a transition with us where he said, I guess we have to talk about the Cubs wild card run. And that was when I was like, yeah, you're right. And then it's the matter of actually trying to clinch home field in the wild card. It wasn't just getting to the playoffs. It was then the importance of clinching it. Ian Happ told us that. You know, Ian Happ told us about the importance of making sure that they played at home. And they got that done. And then there was the fact that you had to outlast a half a billion dollar Padres team every year? Like, their payroll is up there when it comes to the star power that they had. I will say this. There's a valuable lesson on the other side. If I'm a GM, which I won't be anytime soon, and I'm trading for Mason Miller, and I give up my prospect who's one of the third best hitting-wise in baseball, I'm using Mason Miller. I don't care what the situation is. It's a do or die. Use seven pitchers in that game. One of them's going to be Mason Miller for me. Like, they should be mad about that, and thank goodness that didn't happen on the other side, because the Cubs were able to have all the reps that they had against this bullpen, and they were able to use them to their advantage.
Mike Schilt and DJ Raeburn were friends of the Cubs yesterday, for sure.
Yes.
DJ Raeburn being the home plate umpire. Who badly missed that call on Xander Bogaerts. And apparently, I did not see this, but you guys were telling me, or maybe it was Parth, saying that some of the players were shouting down DJ Raeburn after the game.
Oh, no, they were getting harassed as they were trying to exit through the Padres dugout. They were getting harassed.
About the umpires?
Yes, by the players, right, who had to be, several of them had to be restrained by each other, their teammates. It's bad, because I look at it, and I wonder to myself, like, is all this going to be solved next year? And that was like my immediate thought. But the other thought was, is it that tenuous? Is it that much of a flashpoint, that at bat? Or is it the Craig Counsell decision to let two guys get hit instead of one guy get hit and go get your guy?
Well, that's the other thing is why was Brad Keller left in so long? You know, after we just talked about this yesterday, and you could also make the argument that Jameson Taillon was rocking and rolling.
Shoot.
At some point, you're going to have to leave him in for more than four innings. You know, wild card playoff baseball versus an elimination game versus what's happening now where you've got a longer series in the NLDS. These are all very different ways of managing.
Yeah, KYP, though, know your personnel, and I think that it's a good question about Taillon, but Taillon had done enough. He was so good for the time that he was in. Let's not push it, because when you push it with these guys, with Taillon, then the unpredictability starts to sink in.
I don't know, man.
He was awesome.
On one yesterday.
Oh, trust me. He was my hero yesterday in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we'll get into it a little bit more at 1 o'clock, but we have more that we want to get into now just as a team, because we have to acknowledge this and give this its fair due. So we continue to talk about not just the Cubs' identity, but really what won them the game. As much as we talk about those stressful moments, there is something where not only was their financial investment showing you last night what it can do, but in ways we haven't seen before. So we will discuss that next on Raheemy Harris and Grody, a post-playoff edition on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
It's a ground ball to short. Swanson's got it. Steps on the bag. Throws to first. Double play. Double play ends the inning. You can't do it any better than Dansby just did.
The defense was, you know, certainly stands out tonight. Our middle infielders, you know, Pete this series, Matt Shaw this series, like absolutely some huge plays. And we played a great defensive game tonight.
Get money. You do get money when you advance in the playoffs. You get playoff shares. So credit to everybody who's a part of that. It's like Cubs organization. Like, you're talking about clubbies. You're talking about trainers. It's a big deal for people. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we are continuing to celebrate a Cubs playoff win. We have not been able to say those words since 2017. It's a different time. Like, then we used to say, what a time to be alive. I don't say that anymore, but I feel better because of what happened yesterday.
I think it's still a time to be alive because so much has changed since 2017. I mean, the world has changed, right?
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm here. I got to work. I'm functioning.
We're taking
a shower. Like,
you know what hasn't changed? The Dodgers from 2017, because that was the team against which the Cubs eliminated.
Why are you doing this?
Hey Dodgers, Yankees, sleeper predictions.
Yeah. Oh,
you piped down over there. That's for five on it.
Oh, sorry. I jumped the gun again.
Mark picked these two secret teams to go to the World
Series. Nobody's
ever heard of them.
Hey, Ray and I conspired. Don't leave Ray out of this.
That's right.
I workshopped this one early morning at Gallagher Way while you guys were putting the addition on the house. Ray and I were talking and drinking lemonade.
Who picked the secret team in the National League? Who picked it?
It was you.
I'm just saying, what hasn't changed since 2017? Am I wrong?
We were in Gallagher Way drinking lemonade, and I said, hey, Grody. I'll tell you what no one's talking about.
Yeah,
no one's talking about the Yankees.
And Dodgers. I was like, oh, yeah.
And the McCaskies.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just get it all out there.
The McClaskies.
Nobody's talking about the McCaskies. Nobody's talking about the Yankees and the Dodgers.
What about the Bears? The Bears have been left in our rearview mirror.
Grody, I don't know. Okay, so I don't know what to do.
I had
maybe co-hosted with Danny like twice in 2017. I did the monthly visitor segment with Lawrence. How do you host Bears and Cubs playoffs at the same time.
It's
overwhelming. This is new for me.
Yeah.
Because 2020 didn't really count. I can't. So I was a part of that, but not like really, because nobody was. You feel me?
I do feel you. It takes me back to my childhood, actually, when it was real serious angst. When I was a child, you didn't have remotes. And so when you had those rare crossover times when the Cubs, I'm not saying playoffs at the same time, but when they were even just playing regular season games at the same time for young Mark, prepubescent Mark Rohde, that was torture. That was torture trying to figure out where to stay on the little turn dial. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
In fact,
UHF. UHF.
Sometimes you didn't get a channel real clear. And one of the tricks is to like put it halfway.
Oh, yeah.
You put it like halfway between 6 and 7 or something.
Yeah.
We are collectively showing our age and not in a good way, I want to say.
That's okay. That's okay.
I also want to get back, because this is a big discussion in our pre-show meeting, is we talked about how good the defense was yesterday, and Dansby Swanson deserves all of the credit. We have not experienced playoff Dansby Swanson until now. I know that he, you know, when you make a lot of money, you're going to get a lot more criticism, and that has happened. We've been fair, I think, when it comes to that during the regular season. We absolutely have to understand that what Dansby and Nico did, and even the diving catch by PCA, that's your spine of the defense, as we like to call it. The framing by Carson Kelly, which frankly helped prevent that walk to Xander Bogaerts in the ninth inning. Again, that is the backbone of your defense, the thing that is keeping it upright. Every single part of it worked to help them win the game. I don't think they do it if they don't yesterday.
We knew this team was built on that idea, the spine of the defense being stronger than everybody else's spine, if not just as strong, we'll say. But I got to tell you, as that game's unfolding, and we just talked about the fact that hitting-wise, yeah, they got a bunch of hits. They did not score a bunch of runs, right? And so I'm like, is this team... I think this team is trying to make a statement with this game. Not only are they advancing to the National League Division Series against the Brewers, but they're also staking their claim as to what their identity really has been all season long, if you really think about it, and what it is if they're going to forge ahead. And I think that identity is pretty strong. It's strong pitching, specifically in the bullpen, because their bullpen was overshadowed, of course, by Mason Miller and company and the Padres, who have the best bullpen in all of baseball. It's outstanding, exciting, electric defense. And then, yeah, we'll hit just enough. We'll get a hit when you need it. We'll get a little something going. And that's what they've done all season long. That's how they got to 92 wins. It wasn't, even though we look back at the early season, we say how good that offense was early on. It's been the pitching and the defense that has carried them through. And when they've come up short for stretches, it's because they couldn't score any runs.
Well, what's funny, and I've pointed this out a couple times over time, is the spine of the defense and all that talk really originated in what? I'd say 2021, 22. I feel like that was the original discussion, maybe even as late as 23. They deviated from that. You know, they decided they didn't have enough offense then. That's why they decided to get Kyle Tucker. That's why they DFA'd a Gold Glover and Tucker Barnhart. You know, they decided they needed more offensive production out of certain positions because they were engineered to be a 2-1 ball game team. That's always been the running joke in San Diego. Every game is 2-1. What's funny is how it played out yesterday, where that really was the case. But the plays that Dansby was making, we weren't the only ones admiring them. Say what you want about Mike Shilton, we have, but he knew exactly what the poison for his team was, and it came in the form of Dansby.
You know, talking about defense, I don't think they give an MVP for this round. I'd give it to Swanson. I mean, this, you know, Dansby played his tail off, man. He almost single-handedly beat us with his glove. You know, we talk about in the modern game about the pitching, and we talk about the offense and who we're hitting for and all the things that are, you know, appropriate to talk about in our game. But the one thing that we don't talk about as much anymore is your defense. And this time of year, your defense, and we play great defense, but Dansby Swanson absolutely beat us with his glove this series.
And that is high praise, given the infield of the Padres as well. And I don't know how – I can't argue with it. He played tremendous defense.
It seemed like last night there was a magnet attached to his uniform, whatever. The ball's just coming to him, and he was ready for it. But he's always ready for it. That's why the Cubs paid him all the money is, hey, you're going to get Gold Glove-level defense with some pop. But not consistency like you'd want out of a quote-unquote all-star shortstop, future Hall of Fame shortstop, but premium defense at a premium position.
Yeah, so you still want more offense, but he did provide some offense yesterday, just standing there and accepting his walk against the ex-Cub, Jeremiah Estrada. That's pretty big right there, because everybody wants to get out there. Like, bases are loaded, your eyes get a little bigger. You want that gapper. You want that bases clearing double, man. You don't want us. But he, as Joe Maddon said, he accepted his walks. He was a menace to our guy Luis Arraez yesterday on a couple of occasions. How about the unassisted double play in the sixth inning when Horner was taken out of position, and he just knew. Like, he knew there was not even hesitation. He knew he had to sprint to the base, fling it over to first, Michael Busch sure-handed as he is. That was pretty sick as well.
All right, that was the ender for me. You know, that was like the mic drop moment, the Sharpie drop that we used yesterday. That double play, he's like, I got this, I got you, we're done, next inning.
What else you need? What else you need me to do?
Robbie, you were there. Like, what was the atmosphere like after that particular play, like that double play? I feel like Wrigley was rocking, and really that was Jameson Taillon kind of setting it up, because he was like, I'm going to strike out this guy to end an inning, I'm going to strike out this guy to end an inning. But I feel like the double play really helped too.
Like, being an out-of-towner and being in Wrigley that game and those fans were just incredible. That, especially game three, and that moment right there, it absolutely erupted. That and the Michael Busch home run were the moments where, like, you felt like chills throughout your whole body because of, like, the magic of it happening. Even when Dansby dropped that ball and still got him out, like, that was Chicago, I love you. That was so cool.
You know,
being
that,
there, so cool.
You know what that was, too, when the game slowed down to that level? Like, Caleb Williams talked about flow state or whatever we talk about, a fugue state. Sometimes you can see it. That's it, right? Where you are in the absolute right position before it happens to know to make that play, and you can still take the time to do it like that. That's as close as you get to bending time as it exists, I think.
How about the Nico Horner play in the seventh inning? I think it was on Iglesias, where he mistimes his jump. And
he admitted that he jumped too soon.
But he kind of smiled about it. But in the moment, it was like, oh, he's jumping, made a big. Oh, wait a minute. He kind of mistimed his jump, but he stayed up long enough to grab it and bring it down. So, I mean, it's the pitching and defense. They got away with it in this series. I would like more runs to be scored. I would like to feel much more comfortable in the ninth inning when Brad Keller is on his second inning and he's running out of gas. And they're like, can we bring in Kittredge? Can we bring in Kittredge? Meow. Yes, we can. He takes care of it. But I don't want to have that feeling of the one run difference. Let score some more runs, please.
When he got to 30 pitches, I was like, what are we doing? What are we? No, because I knew someone was in the bullpen. Two guys were in the bullpen. It was Kittredge and it was Boyd, right?
Yes. Matthew Boyd was warming up.
So I'm wondering, I was like, wait, what is the plan here? I felt like for the first time in the series, I didn't understand the plan. That was my issue. I did not understand what was going on.
No, I didn't either. But I feel like one guy managed his team like it was an elimination game in Craig Counsell and just threw what he could and knew he saved some bullets for that game three. And then the other one in Mike Schilt, I feel like it was equally as frantic, because my whole thought is if you're going to throw Morjon, then you should also be able to throw Mason Miller. Like, that was my logic. Our segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. But I really think that when you see it come together in that way, it's even leaving Keller in as long as he did, I was like, okay, are we really doing this? Like, okay, this is the thought process, huh? You're gonna let this ride, and then finally we see Kittredge come in at the end. Craig Counsell also, by the way, talked to our Bruce Levine about what he thinks the identity of this Cubs team is.
Your belief in this group from day one, and I don't know how many times you had to admonish me and say, you know, Bruce, we have a really good team.
And I thought tonight was the kind of like a Cubs win, like this 2025 Cubs win. We did it with great defense. We did it with a bullpen who just doesn't care about where they're doing it. You just get the outs. And so it was right on brand for what this team has done and how we played this year.
I didn't realize Bruce was taking so many admonishings from the manager this year. I'm glad. I hope he came away clean from all that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, admonishing. That's a very specific type of language there. Admonishment.
Now you've heard their back and forth throughout the season.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I love them.
I enjoy them thoroughly because it's They're entertaining, hilarious. And I think that Bruce has a special bond, not only with Craig Council, but so many of the people in that organization, because he's been there, done that, seen it all.
Well, also, to get Craig Council's humor, I think it's not like a soundbite. Like, it's definitely something that has to be absorbed over, like, a back and forth over some time. But I'm looking forward to the next installment of this. There's one guy who's going to give us the 411 on what is happening with the Brewers, because we're trying to figure out who's healthy, who's available, who might be on that playoff roster. Vinny Rotino, the former also White Sox guy. Yeah, he had a stint with the Sox. So Vinny's the analyst for FanDuel Sports Network Wisconsin. He's a friend of the show, and he joins us next to talk about who they're going to face tomorrow. That's on Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You're going to a place to play in Milwaukee. I don't know if you've ever been there before or not. But
yeah, it's going to be something else. I mean, you know, this was where we wanted to go, and this is where we wanted to get to. I'm fired up to go, man. It's going to be a great series against a very good, really, really good baseball team. But we've got some good things going on here, and we're going to give it everything we got.
This is Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. That music is Outkast. We go now to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we find Brewers analyst for FanDuel Sports Network Wisconsin, the former big leaguer, Vinny Rotino. He is at Vinny Rotino on Zoom. And no better to have a playoff preview, because this thing gets going tomorrow, than with Vinny. Vinny, let's start with just what the latest is from Milwaukee, because there's a lot of Brewers who are not quite sure are going to be available in this.
Well, yeah, I think the biggest question mark is going to be Brandon Woodruff. He had that minor lat injury at the end of the year, and he's coming off that shoulder surgery. So, he pitched exceptionally well, even with the diminished stuff in terms of his velocity wasn't fully all the way back. So it was 92, 95 mostly this year. It wasn't the 97, 99s that the Brewers and Cub fans have come to know from Brandon Woodruff. But he's the biggest question mark. I think Jose Quintana will probably step in that third starter spot, once that game three does come around. But other than that, I think they're at pretty much full strength. I think it's going to be the team that the Brewers and Cubs squared off a bunch this year, 13 times. And actually the Cubs got the better of the Brewers, winning 7 of those 13. So this is going to be an absolute electric series. I was actually hoping for this. I was actually rooting for the Cubs, obviously, for that wild card series to go 3 games. So the Cubs bullpen arms would be a little bit diminished and taxed. But it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great series.
Brandon, I like that you're rooting for this series. We in Chicago were also rooting because we just wanted to keep going.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you see as being the X factor with these teams knowing each other so well?
These teams are matched up really closely together. I actually didn't think the Brewers matched up real well against the Padres, if they were going to have to play the Padres, because of that bullpen was absolutely lights out. I think it's going to come down to between the Cubs and the Brewers. I think it's going to come down to who's going to get that big hit. It really is. Is there going to be some home runs hit in the series? I know the Cubs actually hit a few more home runs than the Brewers did over the course of the season. Both defenses are really good. Both teams have good team speed. They're very evenly matched. Maybe the Brewers have a little bit of edge in terms of just the how rested they are, quite frankly, in their bullpens. So it's going to come down to who gets that big hit. I noticed the Cubs got those big hits in the series against the Padres in game one and three. And I think whoever takes this game one as well, I think is going to be probably going to have a leg up. That's kind of obvious throughout the series. But just because I do think the momentum that the Cubs have going coming off that emotional win against the Padres yesterday, if they can get a win against the Brewers, hopefully not, obviously, in my case, in the Brewers' case, whoever wins that game one is going to have a lot of momentum and just going to have that emotion on their side, because this series is going to be very, very emotional. Obviously, there's probably going to be a few Cub fans at American Family Field and vice versa at Wrigley. And so whoever can get that emotional game one win is going to have a huge leg up.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. So if Brandon Woodruff is healthy, good to go for the series, line it up. Is it Peralta, Priester, Woodruff? Is it Peralta, Woodruff, Priester? How does it go?
The Priester is going to get the ball game two. Peralta for sure, game one. He's going to get some Cy Young Award votes. He pitched, I think he had the best ERA at home of all, of any pitcher in baseball that qualified this year among starters. So he had like a 2.07 ERA at home. He was exceptional at home, even better than Paul Skenes. And then Priester, just he went just on an incredible run. Grew up a Cubs fan, yeah. So I mean that's going to be an electric game two. And I actually think, you know, if I don't think Brandon Woodruff, and I'm speculating here, we haven't heard much about him since that lat injury, and so it's probably going to be Jose Quintana in that game three, just because this guy is going to be ready to go, right? He had 13-year big league career. He doesn't have a World Series ring. He's among all the guys that are active, I think he's top 10 of most starts among active pitchers. And of that list, he's one of like a few guys that doesn't have a World Series ring. So he is highly motivated to win a World Series. He's only pitched in the playoffs three of those 13 seasons. He pitched really well last year for the Mets in the playoffs as well. So he's going to be ready to go game three if it is him that is called upon. But otherwise, it's going to be Peralta, Priester for game one and two.
Yeah, that's what we were trying to figure out, Vinny. I think Woodruff was the main question there. Yeah. We are familiar with Jose Quintana, of course. He was a part of the 2017 team that the Cubs ended up going to the playoffs and traded from the White Sox, where he could never get run support. So for Quintana, I know this is going to be a big potential moment for him. When you consider the September that the Brewers had after going on just a tremendous run the 3 months prior, they end up going 500 the month of September. How much do you take of that, and what are your observations going into this series?
Yeah, winners of just three of their last nine games, kind of limping and kind of backpedaling into the playoffs, into that first round bye, into that best record in all of baseball. I think the break actually, I wouldn't say this about most teams and about most years, but I actually think the break is going to help the Milwaukee Brewers. They played with such emotion and they played with such an edge and with so much intensity all season long. I think they just, without having much to play for at the end there, I think they all, I mean, the math kind of worked out that they were going to get the number one seed in the National League and in all of baseball. And they got some help from the Phillies losing at the end and the Blue Jays losing at the end. So I just think they didn't have a lot to play for. And it's a team that does thrive off that intensity. They do thrive off that edge that they played with. Pat Murphy challenged them to find their edge way back in the middle of May. They were not a good baseball team. They were 21-25 when they woke up on May 18th. And then they just went on this incredible run and they played again with all this emotion. They played together. This is a very cohesive group. I don't know if I've ever seen it from any team at any level, right? It was really impressive the run that they went on. And like I said, I think that last month of the season, they just didn't have a lot really to – they didn't play with a ton of sense of urgency. Once those fans at American Family Field show up and they're just going to blow the roof off the place, and there's going to be – like I said, there's going to be some Cub fans there too. They're going to thrive off that energy on both sides. And I think that is going to – and the break kind of did them well, right, where they had a chance to kind of just decompress a little bit, take a little bit of a break, treat it a little bit like the All-Star break, and go ahead and get ready for that first pitch tomorrow.
Vinny Rotito with FanDuel Sports Network in Milwaukee. We thank you for taking the time. Appreciate the Brewers gossip there.
Thanks, Vinny.
Anytime, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Vinny. That was Vinny Rotino, who is the TV analyst, joining us thanks to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Coming up next, I think we got to talk to a Cub, right? Don't we? I feel like we talk to a guy every week who might be able to help us out with this whole playoff series win thing.
Just a little bit of insight.
Yeah, you could say it's happening. Ian Happ next on Rahimi Harris Grody on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.